DC, thanks for the time. The last tune-up, if you will. Don't say that to Nick Saban, but the last tune-up for the Tide before they get into league play.
Yeah, like I said last week before, Atlantic, very much the same. The situation where it's sort of a, if you compare it to the NFL, you know, the last preseason game. Now, they won't sit the starters after the first drive like the NFL, but in terms of what you want to find out from young players, certainly what you want to see from the quarterbacks, I expect we'll see a lot of the same in terms of the rotation at quarterback. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to learn a whole lot about this team as a whole. I don't care what the score is. I mean, I guess if they were to only win by 3 points, maybe, but anything decent, whether they win by 24 or 54, I'm not sure it's going to be fair to make a broad brush judgment on where this team is. I think you got to pay attention to how Eddie Jackson responds in his second game, how Trey DePriest responds, and certainly how the quarterbacks respond.
It's going to be interesting. I know Cecil talked about this in his column. It's really, while it's not the the drop-dead date, so to speak, in terms of players who will either play or be redshirted, but it is in all likelihood the last time they would see significant snaps, barring something bad happening at their position and depth being depleted. How close of an eye do you keep on that? And if so, beyond Marlon Humphrey, as Gary Harris pointed out, is there anybody else that you look to see take the field that maybe hasn't so far for Alabama?
Well, generally speaking, most coaches at the highest level, the Alabamas, Florida State, and whatnot, when they have highly touted players and they know that they're going to be very good, there's really no benefit to redshirting them. And what I mean, you know, people are to say, that's crazy, you know, you get an extra year. Well, if they're as talented as you hope they'll be, they are eligible to leave for the NFL after three seasons, whether they redshirt the first year or they don't. So I think that's a little bit of a misconception with fans to say, hey, if we redshirt this five-star guy, that means we'll get an extra year with him later. Not necessarily. We've seen cases like that all the time. Jameis Winston, I don't care if he has an insurance policy or not, he's a redshirt sophomore, and he is done after this year. Now, of course, quarterback is different because if they're not the starter, there really is no sense of playing a highly touted guy. But when you talk about linebacker, defensive line, secondary, you know, if they're very good players, you might as well give them experience, real experience in year one, and then look for them to emerge in year two, year three. Redshirting a guy is not some magical fix as to make them 1 year better and then they stay around for three, four. You know, so you have to ask yourself, if you're Nick Saban, do you want Rashawn Evans? Do you want Goody Jones? Do you want these exceptional freshman athletes on special teams and a couple snaps here and there? Or do you want them not at all and then 2 years and then gone? You know, because that's obviously in the cards, that type of situation. So, yeah, of course, Marlon Humphrey. I think most of the five-star guys seen playing time, or, again, in the case of Humphrey, I would expect he will. Because of what I just said. Offensive line, that'll be a little interesting. I think we've seen probably everybody who will play on offensive line. You know, remember, they brought in six guys. They've already got several quality guys coming in for the 2015 class. So I would be surprised if we saw a new offensive lineman face this week that we didn't see last week. But no, other than that, I think Humphrey's the big one. And I would be shocked to not see him play at some point. I mean, maybe if for some reason he doesn't play this week, perhaps you get him in, weave him in on special teams or something like that down the road. But because I think he's probably one of those guys that you're either going to get him for 2 years or three, so you might as well take him for three.
Talking to D.C. Reeves, the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. D.C., like all of our guests, appears courtesy of the Bud Light Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. Okay, we get into this game, and we have performances very similar at quarterback from both Blake Sims and from Jake Coker. At the end of that matchup, do you think Nick Saban says, this is the horse, we're going to ride him? Or do you think this is a deal where he's going to continue to play both quarterbacks as the situation allows?
I don't know. I think, obviously, Nick Saban's not naming a starter, but the way I see it is I would call Blake Sims sort of a half-a-peg starter at this point. You know, I think he's going to need to do something bad, and Coker's going to have to do something good for him to not start the Florida game at this point. Now, how comfortable Nick Saban wants to be going into SEC play with a potential situation that you'd be rotating guys around, I don't know that that's ideal, but you never know. I mean, I've seen crazier things. Do they work in packages for different guys? Do you try to change it up? And certainly the mystery of the quarterback situation cannot hurt them in terms of what Florida is going to have to prepare for. So even from a schematic standpoint, even if, let's say Blake Sims plays much plays even better this week, and let's say Coker regresses this week, where it's pretty obvious that Sims is going to be the guy. Is there really any motivation to name him the starter at this point? They've already been doing this 3 weeks. Why not leave a little sliver of doubt in Will Muschamp's mind, even though he probably sees the film and knows what's coming? There's no advantage. It, just like there's been no advantage all fall camp for him to name a starter. People kept saying, who's your starter going to be? It doesn't really there's no advantage except for the fans and us media want to know. And so that's why I think they're going to avoid it as long as they can. I would not be surprised at all. Again, if Sims is great, Coker is not, where we're sitting there after on Sunday saying, oh, Sims is the guy for sure, it would not shock me in the least if Nick Saban comes in on Monday and still says it's a quarterback competition, but we'll start Sims. It wouldn't surprise me. So, but at this point, for it to change, I think it's going to take multiple interceptions, multiple mistakes from Sims, and I think it's going to take an exceptional game from Coker. I think he'll get the opportunity to do that. I think both guys will. I think it was 24 snaps for Sims last week, 16 snaps to start the game, and 8 coming out in the second half. We'll see how balanced it is. I'm not sure on that, but I think Coker will get plenty opportunity to prove himself, just like Sims will have plenty opportunity to prove himself or disprove that he should be the guy.
Southern Miss is not the team that I grew up on. It's not the team you grew up on. They are better, I think, though, certainly in the offensive side, than the team Alabama faced last week. How important is it to see improvement from Alabama defensively as the Gators come in? Or is this still a deal where regardless of how this team plays, you're not going to feel like you have a handle on things until 8 days from now?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't. The interesting thing is they have not seen an offense. Every offense they're going to see is going to be an up-tempo offense until Florida. So, in a weird way, not only are we going to not really truly know how good this defense is going to be for until they play Florida, in terms of the quality of player they played against, on top of that, they've got to get to a lot of these no-huddle offenses, and Florida's going to be a little less quick than that. Obviously, Kurt Roper's come in and changed things a little bit. They've only played one game against Eastern Michigan, so certainly they'll have tricks up their sleeve. But this will not be it.
I think we may have lost him. Let's.
There
we go. Yeah. We got you back again. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What I was saying is, they haven't seen anybody like Florida, and Southern Miss is not going to be like Florida either, both in skill and both in scheme. So, again, I'm hesitant to say we're going to learn a lot about the defense. I think all we can do is maybe not feel as good about the defense coming into Florida if they were to struggle. But this is a very young Southern Miss offense, freshmen, sophomores all over the field, sophomore quarterbacks, true freshman running back. I think they're going to have a lot of issues.